Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. Host Green Diva Meg and co-host Green Diva Mizar share resources and ideas as they explore fun and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. And now, your host, Green Diva Meg.
Yeah, that's me.
The audience never gets tired of you, Megan.
It's, well, of us. We're, you know, we're the awesome Green Divas and a green dude any given day.
You're right.
Welcome.
Always,
to,
well,
yes.
At least on Thursdays.
Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. You're on with Green Diva Meg.
And I'm Green Diva Mizar.
I'm Green Diva Gina. Hey, everybody.
And a little later in the show, you'll hear from Green Diva. Green Diva. Sorry, Ed. Green Dude Ed.
Sorry.
Okay. That's all right.
And Silent Rob, our Green Dude Audio Dude.
I think every week we call him something different.
I can't get it right.
I like Silent Rob. Green Dude.
Well, that's a
Silent
throwback
Rob.
To that movie Clerks. You remember the movie Clerks?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we also had Silent Jesse before Silent
yeah,
Rob.
That's where that came from. Silent Jesse. We like Clerks. Anyway.
I've never seen it. I'm such a bad moviegoer.
Well, that's okay. It was a Jersey classic, I will say. You should go
it's
see
Kevin
it.
Kevin Smith, right?
Yeah. The guy's funny.
I know he's funny.
Yeah.
He's smart.
Sick and
one.
Funny.
Yes.
So we have a wonderful show.
As always.
Well, you know, we got into the, like, summer, vacation, camping kind of zone this week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're in the throes of summer.
Yeah.
So why not?
I went to the beach once for one day.
I haven't yet, but I am going to go to Maine camping at the end of, well, in September, actually.
Oh, what part of Maine?
I'm not sure, but it's okay. Up there in the woods somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'll let you know when I know exactly where I'm going. It's up near Bangor.
All right, so today we're talking about camping, but I think for her, if she's going up into the backwoods of Maine, we may need to talk about survival skills.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially near, you said if it's near Bangor, like that's up there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you all about that as that comes along or when we talk about various things.
I can teach you how to build a lean-to for shelter.
I can teach you how to build a fire.
I was a Girl Scout, you guys. I was a Girl Scout.
Oh, okay.
I was a good
You're
Girl Scout.
You're in good hands then. Your own.
But we have a fun show. Now, this week, I'll just quickly run down what's going to be on, so you want to stay tuned. Green Diva Gina did a really good post this week.
Oh, thanks.
On camping food. And, you know, it's not your... And we've dubbed her now the Green Diva 5-Minute Foodie.
Woohoo. Love that.
Because,
yeah.
You know, she's young. She's on the go. She's, you know, she's a foodie. And she's into the green, sustainable food. Good food.
And hopefully she'll be with us for the duration.
Yeah. Well,
yes.
Definitely.
Here's hoping.
Yes. Here's hoping. So she's going to do... She did a post on camping food, and we're going to talk about some recipes, and I think we'll throw in some of our own ideas. And
yes.
We'd love to hear from you. So if you want to chime in, go to Facebook and find Green Divas Radio Show and chime in. Let us know.
Yeah, tell us about all your camping recipes.
But what about... and Twitter, too.
And Twitter, at ORG Green Divas. At ORG Green Divas or at Green Diva Meg.
Okay.
And anyway, the show, I just will say that we are in the Green Diva studio.
Correct.
I just got to say that out loud because I'm getting used to the idea that we actually are starting to produce some fun things. And it's going to only get more fun here.
Especially when we have the painting party because right now it's kind of a weird color. But we're going to repaint this and we're going to videotape it. With non-VOC paints and...
Yeah, from that Quiet Paint Company,
I can't wait. And we talked about it last week,
we
so I was hoping to find a couple gallons here today
I know.
For a painting party. I'll do it.
I'll measure.
I'll take care of it.
So Green Dude Eco Ed is going to talk about some eco travel today, right? Right? Summer eco travel, because all of us are, you know... And that's the other question I have for people is what kind of travel? Not everybody goes camping. Some people go to the beach. Some people go to fancy hotels.
Some people go glamping.
Okay.
What?
That's true.
Glamping?
What is that?
Glamorous camping.
Oh.
Oh, like you set up a tent in your plaza suite?
It's like...
Hotel room?
I mean, I don't know how to explain it, except you have like a master suite tent that has every kind of amenity, so it's not real camping. It's glamping.
Right. So some people
do
that.
Oh, my word.
Some people just go visit family. Whatever you do in the summer to stay vacation... I want to hear from you. Check us out again on Facebook. Let us know, and I will check in over there and see what people are doing.
Can I tell you something?
Yes, please.
I hate traveling in the summertime.
Well, it's brutal because everybody's doing
out there.
It. Yeah.
Everybody's there. So you know, it's many, many years that I do not take a summer vacation.
Yeah,
I'll do a September vacation.
September's the best time to travel.
Yeah, because all the college kids are back in school.
Yeah, but don't tell everybody.
Okay, don't travel in September.
Then you're going to do a DIY segment. You've already done some things over the past few months that would be appropriate for
right.
camping and hiking and summer
so
activities.
So I'll repost that
yeah.
with a couple of updates.
Yeah.
And then the walking stick, which
yeah.
I just sort of came up with, well, this morning.
For hiking, it, yeah.
Because
summer hiking.
I never, ever went into the woods without first finding a sturdy stick. And then you'll see the one that
sturdy
I made
stick.
For my dad 40 years ago.
Aww.
And I now have it. So anyway, that's fun. And I think a walking stick is essential.
Mm-hmm.
Got to beat off the bears after all.
Yeah, right.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
And
you don't want to do that.
Part of this concept came around because I wanted to rebroadcast the interview that we did with Kevin Poe, the Dark Ranger.
Aren't you supposed to say, the Dark Ranger?
Yeah. I am the Dark Ranger. Anyway, it was such a good interview. It was extremely informative, and I don't think we gave it enough attention the first time for some reason that I just felt like I wanted to address it again because we are dealing with an important issue with light pollution.
Right, and the summertime sky. Hey, I saw my first shooting star yesterday.
Oh.
No, wait.
Did you make a wish?
Was yesterday? Of course I make a wish. Good. There's that song my father used to sing to me. Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Save it for a rainy day.
Oh.
So, of course, I made a wish on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's when I was doubling back to help my mother change a flat tire at 10:30 at night after eating yummy frozen yogurt.
Well, there you go.
Which has nothing to do with anything except that the night sky in the summertime, clearly very different than the wintertime sky,
mm-hmm.
but it's so beautiful, especially you when you go to the backwoods of Maine, man.
Oh, my God.
You are
oh,
going
know.
To have a celestial canopy.
Oh,
that's
no, I've
die
been to
for.
Maine. I've never been into the backwoods of Maine, but I've been up in New England. And
I'm going
to
make you a nice walking stick.
Aww.
Maybe with a machete on its
end
or something.
I'll need it. Yeah.
I know.
I'll need it. So this is the first time we're actually going to do a rebroadcast of a feature interview. Which is nice because Rob's been making for us, you know, these 15-minute podcasts of just the interview segments.
Yeah.
So if people don't want to hear all of our fun and witty banter.
why wouldn't they, Megan?
In the first part of the show, and they just want to, like, you know, get to the feature,
yeah,
man.
Just skip to that. Okay.
Anyway, so I'm excited that we're going to do that. Meanwhile, has anybody been keeping an eye on this Toyota MPG challenge that all these groovy people in the New York metro area are involved with?
Well, I have to confess, I get all my updates through you, and I didn't get a single one this week. Nor did we make a video this week.
Oh, I had several updates, and in fact, they featured me. They've been featuring the people that are involved, you know, increments, and a couple days ago it was mine, yesterday actually.
Yeah.
And anyway, I came in third so far. Not come, you know.
You're in third place.
I'm in
so
third
far.
Place at this point.
And how much longer do we have to go on this?
2 more weeks as
wow.
of tomorrow.
Did you take the Prius into New York yesterday?
No.
Why not?
No. Well, for a lot of reasons, but.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of reasons. But anyway, yeah.
Well, we better schedule that road trip.
Yeah, right. Well, we got to schedule it according to charging stations. Got to
oh,
map out the charging.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of videos, we did do a pretty funny video. What was somebody getting email?
Well, mine's off,
oh,
so
okay.
I don't know.
Anyway, I just heard a little doink, and I'm like, what is that?
The doinkers.
So tell them about our little video that we made that took us all day last week.
Well, it was funny because we just, first of all, we kept getting animal interruptus, and then we said, heck, we're just going to go with it. We received from Naya Shoes a wonderful spare shoes each. Now, the thing about Naya Shoes that's beautiful, and we both love it, is that they're eco-friendly. They are made with vegetable dyes. They are made with recycled fabrics. They are made with
cork footbeds. Yeah.
So comfy.
They're very comfortable.
It makes a huge difference.
Oh, and aren't they sexy?
They are so sexy. And wait till you see the video because, yes, it took us quite a while. We tried several different manifestations of the video. I think the first one was kind of funny where we were lying on the
couch.
Oh,
yeah, but no, it was, yeah. We really, I'm telling you, we
I feel
spent.
I like should air outtakes.
Yeah.
I don't know about these. I mean, here you have two 50-year-old plus, in my case, broads, lying with their feet sticking straight up, trying to make a video. It wasn't pretty. funny, but not pretty.
Yeah. Well, so the one we ended up with is funny. But
yeah, it's funny. And you can tell who the Italian or the part Italian is.
Oh, because your hand gestures. We see your hands.
I couldn't keep my hands from expressing my love for these shoes, which I really do wear just
she
about
does, yeah.
every day.
No kidding.
Never a blister. Not a single blister.
Nary a blister.
Nary a blister. And so darn comfy. So darn comfy.
Now, I want to mention our sponsor, too, buygreen.com, because they have all kinds of summer goodies on sale. They have camping stuff. They have all kinds of gear, backpacks and whatever, what have you.
For camping.
Camping.
And survival, in your case.
Water bottles, stainless steel bottles.
See? You need water.
Yeah, you know, you need it all. So I hope folks will go to buygreen.com and see what they can find for their summer vacation.
So now, wait a minute. Do they have a clearance page? They must.
They do, yeah. And right. I recommend checking it because he does update it, or whoever updates it quite frequently.
Well, that's good because, you know, and this is when you're going to start to buy some of that summer stuff because they're looking ahead to back to school, the holidays, blah, blah, blah. And so if you haven't bought your camping gear, your bamboo knives and forks, your reusable plateware, what do you call it? Plates and what do you call
dishware?
It?
Dishware?
Well, it's dishware, but flatware. I guess it is. And flatware.
Yeah.
So they're made out of bamboo.
Get Dina's your spork. Got to get your spork. Have you ever used one of those little spork jobs?
What is that?
It's like a fork and
fork
a spoon and a knife.
Oh, a spork. Yeah. Fork. Spork. And, yeah, my son, the Eagle Scout, has one. He loved that thing. So just as an aside, I'm trying to come up with the word dishware, and Gina looks at me and goes, dishware? Like, are you stupid?
No.
Oh, yes. If a picture paints 1,000 words, the look on your face was like, okay.
I didn't mean that. I promise.
Senior moment. Dishware. What?
Did you mean dishware? Well, that's why we keep Jane around, because, you know, the two of us are like, oh, blank.
Okay, well, I've been put in my place by my little green diva, Gina.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, don't be. It was funny. It was funny. Listen, a little self-deprecating humor once in a while
is fun.
It's
true. Hey,
so there you go.
Well, somebody's got to have ongoing memory.
Well, that wouldn't be me.
Yeah, it's not going to be me either. Yeah. So speaking of Gina, let's just do it. Let's go talk about
food.
Food, yum.
Food things.
One of my favorite topics.
So, because we're talking about camping and, you know, camping under the stars and kind of going off that theme, that'd be really cool to share some recipes that are really good, healthy, sustainable recipes that you can have while camping. Because a lot of people think camping food's kind of...
open a can of beans and put your hot dogs in it. Yuck.
And, you know, there is something fun about grilling. You know,
always.
So I know when we went camping, like, we grilled a lot, but I thought, hey, why not, you know, take some coolers, get some sustainable produce from local farm stands, hit up a grocery store. There's got to be some on your way camping, but there's tons of different things you can do that is really easy, that doesn't take a lot of time. And just kind
of you're talking about the kind of camping where, let me just qualify, that you're not like hiking for 7 days because you're not carrying a cooler into the Adirondack Mountains for 7 days, right?
This kind of camping I'm talking about is, right, it's not like Appalachian Trail, you know.
Yeah. Set up camp and have a fun for a week. I got it.
This is like what I used to do with my friends is we would go to Lake Champlain in Vermont on the shores. And we would take a couple coolers. We had little lean-tos, and we had tents, too, but the lean-tos kind of protected us more from the rain. And food was kind of the least of our worries. Like, we wanted stuff that was good, healthy, and quick, but we were hiking, we were swimming, we were biking, we were running around, we were playing volleyball. And so, you know, food, it had to be quick, had to be easy, and it had to be really storable. So here's three recipes that I thought were really good. Two of them are definitely tried and true, and one I thought was really easy and a fun idea. So I basically just outlined a summer salad, a main dish, and a dessert.
Go for it.
So the first is, I mean, everybody's summer favorite, basically. It's just a simple caprese salad.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get much simpler than that for camping, you know. If you have a bunch of tomatoes that you cut in circular discs, and then you layer them with mozzarella cheese, sprigs of basil, and then just drizzle with a balsamic vinaigrette. There's nothing easier and more crisp and just absolutely delicious. Super healthy.
Seriously.
I've been eating that for years, and I'm gonna say caprese.
Caprese.
Caprese salad. Okay? There you go.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
So, I mean, that's what we ate a lot
So good.
It was so good, so easy.
So good.
Really storable. And we had a farm stand maybe a 2 mile walk away. So once a day someone would go up there and we'd get our fresh produce. Yeah. So.
Oh, that's but pretty it would be handy worth. For camping, right?
Yeah. You know what it would be worth?
So, you know, note to self, camp near a fresh farm stand.
There or if there's some on your way, just, yeah. you know, get your veggies on the way.
The key to a really good caprese salad is just go to a store where, like a Whole Foods or even a Trader Joe's, where you can get a good olive oil. Because
that
makes all the difference. I'm talking to a Greek girl here, you know, who's looking at a half Italian Mediterranean.
See, if I were going, I would have garlic infused oil with me because, you know,
yeah.
that would add
I was about
flavor.
To make a joke. I'd say you'd have Miracle Whip, but okay.
Oh, no. Why would you ever? Because you never used Miracle Whip in my life.
Because you're an Irish girl. It was the joke was too easy, Megan.
Yeah, no.
I know.
No, people who know me will say she's off base with that
I know,
one.
Yeah. I know. It was a joke. All right. So, yes.
Yeah.
Next.
So, yeah. And also, too, basil is a natural bug repellent. So, eat
so
as much
you can
of it
rub
as
it all
can.
Over your body.
Yeah.
You don't eat it all.
Yeah,
there
exactly.
You
so, leftovers, you know, roll I'm around
cracking
in
it.
It
up at least.
Yeah.
I heard Vicks Vapor Rub is also a natural
really?
Bug repellent. Yeah.
I believe
no
that.
Kidding.
With the, it's like the peppermint.
Well,
because
it's von Stunkena, and I don't think the mosquitoes like that.
No.
Yeah, it's pretty powerful.
Yeah, that's intense stuff.
All right. We'll check that on that.
Yeah.
I just envision people rubbing basil. I think that's cool. I like the smell of basil.
I love it. It smells like my grandmother in Greece. She used to work in her garden
I love
with basil.
That.
So every time I smell, I'm like, oh, my ya-ya.
Aw.
Yeah.
I know.
Is that how you say ya-ya properly?
The Greek way, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, you know.
But people say it different ways.
I've westernized it.
Yes,
I've made
fine.
the Irish version of
the Irish version of the Greek.
Yaya is yaya.
Yaya.
Yeah, yeah. No worries.
So you're too young to be a yaya. No, every time you talk about your grandkids, Meg, we're getting off topic. But I keep looking at you and thinking, what?
Yeah. What the heck?
I got to get cracking. Well, no, not yet. Okay, so go ahead. Main dish.
So the main dish is. My kind of my easy take on Greek souvlaki, so just camp kebabs, really easy. All you really need is like some skewers. You could just get some sticks,
yeah,
branches,
on
yeah.
some branches if you wanted to.
Yeah. Stay away from the poison.
You know,
go natural.
Yeah, go natural. And you know, mix it up with some veggies. So you could do bell peppers, onions, and then cube a bunch of meat. And what I do is I marinate it. Like the Greek way is just with olive oil, garlic, oregano,
ooh,
basil,
yeah.
and lemon. That's all you need.
And you do all that in advance and just take it like in a plastic, or some kind of container. Not plastic necessarily, but a container.
You could.
Right?
What I did is we just had the meat with us and someone cubed. Someone had just a Ziploc bag of this marinade that we made.
Okay.
And we just marinated the meat all day, put it in a cooler with ice. And then at night, we layered it on the skewer with the veggies, kind of intermittently.
Yum.
And then just grilled it up.
Yeah. Good.
Easy peasy.
I love
and
that.
It's really fast because they're cubed.
And
plus,
there's like
you just eat
very
it,
little
like
cleanup.
Your,
exactly.
Yeah.
No forks, no dishware.
Exactly. You're just eating it off
fare?
The stick. Which
no
makes
dishware?
Which makes it all the more reason to do something like that because... You know, hot dogs and burgers, a lot of people like them just because, like, they pick them up and you're done. Which, you know, there's something to be said about eating something that's really easy like that, but why not a kebab?
I like the dessert that you did.
Okay,
dessert.
Go for it. Well, we always like dessert.
Yeah. So I had to do a dessert because, I mean, you're camping. You're on vacation.
And because we're chicks.
Well,
yeah.
And everybody thinks,
loves
like,
dessert.
Marshmallows on sticks,
well,
s'mores,
yeah.
which is fun.
Which is fun, yeah. you know.
You got to do it one night.
You have to
Vegetarians, unless you find glycerin-free marshmallows, vegetarians won't eat them.
They do.
Yeah.
They have vegetarian ones.
I've got to find them because I just... breaks my heart that my son won't eat them now. So go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So, I mean, I love s'mores. I eat them when I'm home. Like, my brothers and I on our stove will make them, which is kind of ridiculous, but we do.
Go for it.
But anyways, you know, I was like, there's got to be a healthier version to have s'mores, you know, like with fruit in some way. And I know that a lot of people use bananas as a substitute. Like, a lot of people make ice cream out of bananas.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, well, there's got to be a way to use bananas. So I found this recipe online, which I thought would be really easy. All you really need is semi-sweet chocolate chips, marshmallows, and a banana in tin foil.
Seems reasonable.
Really easy.
We did this in Scouts, I think, or some kind of a a version of it with the banana, and you put it on the grill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what you're doing is, like, you leave the banana in the peel, but cut it down the middle so it's not completely cut. And then you kind of make a little pouch, if you think about it, and you just put the chocolate chips and the marshmallows, wrap it in tin foil, and then if you already have the fire going, might as well just stick the bananas in there.
Exactly.
I also was thinking, too, as I was posting this, and I didn't write it down, but you could probably add a lot of other toppings, like coconut.
Yep.
Or, wouldn't that be delicious?
Walnuts.
Walnuts. You could easily do that. Blueberries. Craisins.
Raisins.
Everything all almonds, warmed up and
gooey.
Kind of blended and gooey.
Even caramel squares, if you like them. I don't, but those two.
But you could, you could
I would
add
find
a
way to put peanut butter on there.
You Why totally not? Could. You just slop it like a schmear.
A schmear of peanut butter.
So, and what's really great is you can really personalize this, you know? But it's not like you're just getting the graham crackers, the chocolate, and the marshmallow. You're getting a banana, at least, you know, and just kind of doctoring it up, making it a sweet little dessert.
And think how fun that probably is to sit around and make, you know, make that, put it on the fire, and then eat it.
Oh, little kids
can
make this so easily. Yeah.
You know what? You know? Not to rain on your parade, but I was just thinking, I love grilled peaches. Yeah. And peaches with chocolate and marshmallow. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'm getting into that, too. Yeah. We're going to have bananas and peaches at the next grill out at my house.
Oh, yeah, peaches.
I think grilled fruit's amazing,
grilled pears.
Pineapple, too.
Pineapple is my favorite.
Speaking of that, maybe we should try grilling some pluots.
You probably could, actually.
Oh, my gosh. I ate mine already. Do you have yours?
No, it's downstairs. I've been too busy,
You'll have it when you can enjoy it.
Yeah.
That's
I did. I savored that thing for 20 minutes.
You were sucking on the pit.
I was. It was so good.
Aren't
I
they?
I feel like I've been scolded. Listen, your dad does that. So there.
He does.
So there.
He does.
What's your dad's name?
In Greek?
Yes.
Yanni.
Yanni, I'm coming over.
Really? And he's not the music guy, Yanni.
No, but he used to have really like long, luscious hair like that, too, which is kind of funny.
Oh,
I know. He's such a cute guy.
All right.
Well, that was a great foodie report. What are you going to talk about next week? Do you know?
I have no idea yet, but I'm really open.
Didn't we talk about maybe?
Oh, yes.
Maybe.
About wheat.
The wheat.
You know what? That's right. We discussed that earlier about how they said
wheat in its present form.
It's not nutritious.
There is absolutely no nutritional value.
Yeah.
And that in just a few years, 80% of the world will have to stop eating wheat because it is so contaminated, for lack of a better word. It is just
it's hybridized.
That people, there's just no value to wheat anymore.
I'm just curious. I wanted to set you in, because you're very good at this, into researching a little bit for us.
Yeah.
What the history of wheat is. I think wheat is one of those commodity crops that has been so overused now because it's subsidized by the farm bill.
All over
the
place.
So they put it like corn or soy. It's in everything.
Everything.
Which is why people are starting to become more and more sensitive and allergic.
And fat. I mean, I'm just saying that because you go away to college and that freshman 15, they're not kidding because they load that stuff with starch.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And I know.
You just gain weight, even though you think, well, I'm not really eating that much. But wheat has sustained entire cultures and entire societies. It is, in fact, a symbol of fertility and prosperity. And we have just stripped that away.
Yeah, so I'm going to be curious. I want you to do a post for us next week because you're very good at this, doing the research and do a little history and check it out in the Farm Bill. I do think it's connected to these commodity crops that I think then become like it's like industrialized food.
It is.
And so far, all that stuff is proving to be really not healthy for us.
Right.
No. So like people, hello.
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 Seriously, I mean, just think about, like, if you were to walk into a Dunkin' Donuts, you know, I always think about my brother when I go into places like that because he's gluten intolerant.
Oh, yeah.
And so
I don't even go in there because I don't drink coffee.
Or,
so what the hell?
I mean, any kind of restaurant, you know?
Yeah.
Think about it's in everything.
Yeah. Everything.
Everything.
All right. Well, we'll bemoan our gluten intolerance later on.
Yes, next week.
For now, let's take a quickie little break and we come back. Ed's going to be on talking some green dude eco-vacationing, and Green Diva Mizar's got some DIY fun. Stay tuned. I want Green Diva nails without all the nasty toxic chemicals.
I've got the solution. I just tried this G2 Organics non-toxic odor-free nail polish and remover. Did I mention odor-free? Look at my gorgeous toes. And you should see the colors. The colors are great. And the best part? Each one comes with its cool little touch-up tube.
And I guess since it doesn't smell, you can whip it out anywhere. The touch-up tube, I mean. Find out more at G2Organics.com.
What's with the slingshot? I haven't seen a slingshot since I was about 10.
Oh, I've been launching seed bombs in the ugly gray spots in my neighborhood. Can't wait to see what sprouts.
Come again?
A creative company called Greenade makes these clay balls that are regionally, you know, specific seeds and offers them by internet and even vending machines around the country.
That is so cool. Can I borrow this? I want to shoot some bombs in my neighborhood.
Find out more about seed bombs at greenade.co.
Hi, I'm Mariel Hemingway, and you're listening to Green Divas Radio, and you're loving your life.
Every Green Diva needs a sidekick. At the Green Divas Radio Show, they're called Green Dudes. Time now for a deeper shade of green from a guy's perspective.
Hello, Green Divas. How are you today?
Green Dude Eco Ed.
Hello, Green Dude Eco Ed.
Hello, and I'm so glad to talk about this subject because I'm big into traveling and enjoying travel.
Yeah, you are.
And there's some great eco destinations and also doing different types of eco travel. So since I've only got a limited amount of time, I'm going to talk about a couple of the different types of things. Eco travel can mean many things to many people. We have a bunch of friends. We go glamping in Yosemite every year.
Really? What, you go to a hotel, a fancy pants?
Oh, no, no.
What
we go camping, but we have like a 3-bedroom tent with inflatable queen-size mattresses.
That's
and
awesome.
All that fun stuff.
I could do that.
And actually, it makes it somewhat so enjoyable. And Mrs. Eco-Ed actually has a very high standard, so we come to a nice compromise between us. For some people, you can eco-travel means working on an organic farm or
building schools.
I've
always wanted to do that.
I've gone to farm camp.
Yep, it's wonderful. It's really fulfilling, whether you're building schools or working with Habitat for Humanity. There's some great organizations, and the trip can be really spiritual, fulfilling, and wonderful. For some people, though, they have specific destinations they have to choose for whatever reason. So for them, eco-travel is just taking a look at where they're going and then finding a sustainable resort or hotel along the way. And the thing I'm going to talk about today more in detail is choosing a destination that has adopted sustainability as a mantra, and then finding locations within those destinations that have additionally adopted sustainable practices and really maximizing the value of your stay. I've been in Hawaii recently, as you guys know.
Yes, he keeps rubbing that in.
I know. You know, he's saying travel. We're waiting to put our suitcases are already packed.
You know what's really neat about it? We're working with the county of Maui and the mayor of the county, Alan Arakawa. He's really he's a visionary who really has put long-term sustainability goals over the short-term extractive mentality of maximizing profit.
That would make sense to me because the indigenous people of Hawaii, before the U.S. came in and made it a state in 1959, really had a whole different culture, a whole different way of living, and we've kind of urbanized it, westernized it, if you will.
But despite how much it makes sense for him or other people, it's so often they take the short sight because it's a political issue
exactly.
Or an economic issue.
So
and
bully
just,
on the mayor.
Yeah,
really.
I know.
Yeah, and by taking those views and looking at energy conservation, water management, protecting the reefs, the rainforests, and also protecting and educating people on the culture, these are all tremendous parts of sustainability that will make that destination a wonderful destination for many generations to come,
right.
Not just for the next few years.
Key.
And within Maui County, there's the beautiful island of Lanai, and it's one of my wife's favorites. And they've actually got someone on staff, this guy Craig Newton, and his sole focus is helping people, helping the visitors there enjoy activities that encourage different practices like understanding the culture of the island, seeing all the different things on the island, experiencing it, seeing their sustainable efforts.
Nice.
Yeah, the Four Seasons there is actually, they changed their name, the holding company has changed their name from Lanai Resorts to Pulama Lanai. And on the nice. Website, we'll put information that explains their vision for the island and what they're doing. It's tremendous.
I like it. Yeah. Fabulous. And you didn't say Mrs. Eco-Ed. You said your wife. How weird is that?
I'm used to referring to her as Mrs. Eco-Ed.
Yeah.
Within Maui County, there's a bunch of other great places we can put down the website, like the Grand Wailea, the Fairmont Kealani. And another favorite destination is Costa Rica, because the government there stepped up about a few decades ago and really has taken a lot to conserve land, preserve the diversity of the
We definitely need to do a Costa Rican Green Diva, you know.
Road trip.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a place to buy property, actually. It's cheap, it's good, beautiful.
And it's beautiful, doesn't even begin to describe it. It's gorgeous, and they have the natural parks where the biodiversity is tremendous. And, again, on the site we'll put destinations or resources where you can find some of these tours. And also I want to lay it out there for people to all of our listeners to write into Facebook or Twitter, and Meg will talk about those locations and tell us about some of your favorite eco destinations or eco tours.
Yeah, I really
want. I thought for sure you were going to say, and the winner will, I'll take them to Hawaii. I mean, the way you were ramping up there, Ed, I thought, yeah, okay. No, that would be great, because it's nice to share that kind of stuff.
Good. Now, state, that was a great report. We'll have more of that on the website, thegreendivas.com. Stay tuned for DIY right now.
Want more information on this Green Dude segment and other ideas for low-stress green living? Go to thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. Reduce, recycle, reuse, and if you're feeling creative, repurpose. Repurposing is one of Green Diva Mizar's favorite DIY things to do, and it's fun.
Well, this week, Meg, as we said earlier in the show, I'm just going to kind of rehash some old posts. Starters and jar lanterns, but then I'm also going to do the walking stick as well. The fire starters is very easy. I'm using newspaper and candle wax and some string. The other fire starters, which I didn't do but will include, are cardboard egg cartons and candle wax.
Oh.
My son, the Boy Scout, swears by these.
Wow.
Swears by them and all it
I
is.
I never know what to do with the egg cartons.
Well,
you know,
not the styrofoam ones.
No, obviously,
The paper, cardboard ones, you just, you dip them in wax, let them dry. And when you have to start a fire, bada bing, bada boom, done.
Really?
Oh, it's that easy.
And your other fire starters were, getting rave reviews from
people. Well, they are phenomenal. I learned this in the Girl Scouts way back when. And you just take a roll of newspaper. You kind of roll it up loosely. It's got to be like about 5-inch wide strip that's just the length of your newspaper. Roll it up. Dip that in wax. Obviously, put a piece of cord on there to hold it tied. And you have an all-natural fire starter. It is a fail-safe way to start a fire.
Yeah, and these seem like easy, light things that you can throw in your
camping
gear. Right?
And they are. No? They absolutely
we should have had you
are.
Around. You know how tough it was for a city boy like myself to try to figure out how to build a fire in Yosemite the first time I was there?
Oh, Ed. I bet you started with big logs, and you didn't start with the tinder and the kindling, or did you?
We tried leaves.
Yeah, mama. All you do is get smoke with those.
That didn't work too well.
I know. You know, I should do a DIY post on how to start a fire.
Video. Yeah.
We'll do a video. It's so
now
easy
that we
to
have
do that.
Our video equipment, once we figure out how to use it, that looks like
it. Folks, you're going to be seeing a lot more of the Green Divas.
It's going to be pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, that'll end fun, I hope.
Oh, yeah.
Well, for you guys, it's okay. For you're beautiful, but I personally have a better face for radio.
Okay. Yeah. We'll go with that. I'm kidding.
No, Ed. So he's like a foot taller than us. It'll be a whole different frame.
Well, yeah, he can videotape his own segments.
We're going to have to stand on boxes next to him.
Yeah, exactly. Like the Queen of England, who didn't stand on a box when she visited us during the first Bush's administration.
Oh, I
never
missed
mind.
That.
Oh, my word. Never mind. That's a whole story in and of itself. So what else am I doing? Oh, and then baby jar or small jar lanterns that you just kind of, I had decorated them with beads and other.
For Christmas gifts.
For whatever, exactly. This time you're just going to put the wire around the thread and put three wires to come up so that you can hang them on trees with a little tea light in there.
Yeah.
Or you can even just put your expended candles, melt them back down, and stick a wick, an old wick in there, which is what I would do.
Yeah.
not really. If I don't have to buy the tea lights,
I won't.
Did
you take the bag of old wax from here that my brother left? You took that, right?
Yeah.
Good.
Because
I knew I was not going to get to that for a while.
Oh, yeah. Listen, there's very little that I can't reuse.
Mrs. Ecoed found these little solar light mason jar tops.
Yes.
So you can actually make a turn that neat little mason jar into a solar powered lantern. It's pretty cool.
Really?
That is cool. Yeah.
Oh,
that is cool. It's like
Mrs.
the Waka Waka that I want I need
waka
to review. The Waka Waka. Exactly.
Waka. Isn't there some little character that says Waka Waka from like.
Do you know what? In Swahili, apparently it means
Rob has small kids.
So
he's like, yeah.
what is it, Silent Rob?
Which one? Is it a Sesame Street character that goes Waka Waka? Is it Sesame Street guy?
SpongeBob SquarePants?
No.
Oh, Pac-Man. Pac-Man.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah,
that's what it is.
I'm telling you, there's a little red fuzzy, I think it's on Sesame Street.
All right.
It goes Waka Waka.
All right. So right. I'll repost
Somebody
that.
Somebody figure it out. Let me know.
And then there has never been a camping and or hiking trip that I've taken where we did not have a walking stick. Now, we would generally get one from at the beginning of our trip there, and we would put it outside our tents or whatever. And I'll tell you, they seem silly, but as you're walking in the brush and you've got to push things aside or you're kind of going up a steep ridge that might be a little rocky or whatever, a walking stick is essential. You can get any old stick and use it. However, 40 years ago, and I'm thinking it's got to be at least 40 years ago, I made one for my dad. And the key is to, you take the bark off, really. You strip the bark, polished it. I did some wood-burning designs because I thought I was really hip and chic with a wood burner back then.
I saw that.
And then I don't know what kind of a varnish, but it's still polished and strong. The best wood to get is either hickory or birch. This one might be oak. I don't know. Or even walnut, black walnut. And he went around with that walking stick until he had to go to a cane, which was probably in the last 5 years.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. So she'll be posting that probably in the next 24 hours.
Yes, I will.
And when we will repost in the show post for this on thegreendivas.com for this show.
Correct.
Your other ones, which are already
out
there.
Yeah, but you're gonna put them all on individually, or do you want me to glom them all together?
We'll discuss it. We'll figure it out.
Okay.
We'll make it happen for the listeners.
We always make it happen.
Hang on. We're going to come right back.
For step-by-step instructions on this DIY project and to find out more about the Green Divas radio show and podcasts, visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
All right. Well, we have... For the first time, we're going to do a rebroadcast of one of our favorite feature interviews. Sorry, God, I have myself turned down. I'm like, I can't even hear myself. of Kevin Poe, the Light Ranger, or as you like to
say. No, the Dark Ranger.
And I think his URL is, I am
the Dark Ranger.
And he loves to make reference to Star Wars and whatnot. But he is a tireless champion of our dark skies.
And against light pollution, yes.
Right, but
yes.
There is something called the Dark, I think it's Dark Sky Association, if I'm not, I'll have to go back and look at the post that I did previously, but it's an important issue that I think flies under the radar, and it affects not only...
our sleep patterns, but wildlife, migration, bird migration.
Actually, not only bird migration, but millions of birds are killed every year because of excessive lighting in cities.
They get confused.
And they fly into buildings. And
if you're ever out, like in Yosemite, you talk about shooting stars. When you go out there, you see skies and stars and shooting stars that look like something I've never even imagined growing up here in New Jersey.
Yeah. So anyway, I hope you enjoy this interview as much as we did the first time.
Who is the interview with?
Kevin Poe of the
Dark Ranger.
You were just setting yourself up, man.
You just walked right into that, Megan.
I know. And I didn't even do it. All right. We'll be right back after this interview. Please listen up.
The Green Divas get to talk to so many inspiring people who each in their own way is helping us find a deeper shade of green. Here's just one of them. Enjoy.
Enjoy. I think we finally got Kevin on the air. Here we go. All right.
Oh, it's the Dark Ranger.
I'm so excited we finally got back with you. I mean, it's been a couple of years.
I think it has. Yeah, it has.
And I just want you to know that the podcast that we originally did with you is one of the all-time top, like top 10 out of the 200 podcasts we have. Because
wow, that's pretty exciting.
Well, you know, it's a great topic. I think it's an unsung topic. It rides under the radar, and I heard you talking about it on your video, and it's very important that we start to get more awareness. So I'm glad you're doing what you're doing.
Well, tell the folks at home what it is that you're doing so that we have sort of a springboard, a leaping off point.
Sure. So we're trying to heighten people's awareness about the importance of protecting natural darkness, dark night skies, and the consequences of ignoring that, which kind of gets lumped together as light pollution, the pumping of unnecessary amounts of energy into our nighttime sky.
Yeah. So it's not only an issue of like wasted energy, but perhaps wasted light, but the light actually is detrimental to the environment and to animals, correct?
Yeah, and animals, humans, the environment in general. There's lots of different ways that we try to get people interested in doing the right thing. And, you know, for a lot of people, it is the animals. There's some real problems with where we're going in an attempt to save energy. You know, the LED lights, which are good for the ecology of the planet and the carbon footprint and all these kinds of things, have one major side effect, and that is they disrupt a lot of the biological processes of animals. And
oh, no.
As well.
Really?
The trouble is that blue-white light, the kind that our eyes are most sensitive to, is also the kind that is most detrimental for us.
That's the LED, not the CFL.
Right, the LEDs. Now, there's a solution. The solution is out there. It's been researched. It's just not well known. And that's to get either amber-colored LEDs
right.
or amber-filtered
right.
LEDs.
Oh,
and,
good idea.
You know, the problem with supply and demand is unless we create a demand, they keep supplying us with the blue-white out there.
And is it more expensive?
That's one of our big efforts is to get people thinking in terms of their own personal lighting and when it comes to
utilities. Is there any cost difference between the amber and the regular LED?
You know, there's a little bit, and it's only because the LED is just so, the blue-white LED is so abundant.
Okay.
So it is a little bit more expensive. It's a little harder. That's probably as much as anything. It's not as much about the money. It just takes a lot more research online to find the right thing. The lights we always like endorsing are made by a company called Glarebuster. You can go to www.glarebuster.com.
Okay.
And they have lights that you can fit with CFLs, if that's easier or preferred, but you can also fit them with amber LEDs.
Here's a question, Kevin. The LEDs, they burn cool, correct?
Right.
So why doesn't everybody just go down to their craft store and buy some yellow film, and because they have that kind of cello stuff, put it on top, and you're golden.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that will save you a lot of money because even these fancy glare busters, you know, they run about $100 a piece.
No!
And you can do that with a cellophane or anything like that. And you won't have to worry, just as you say, you won't have to worry about melting your filter.
Because it's a cool light. Yeah, that's very cool. I'm going to do that because I have several LED lights. I'll say the blue light is pretty. However, anyway.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing is that with the cool lights, they work better when they're cold. I mean, the LEDs have a longer lifespan. If you keep them in a cold environment.
Right.
So having them as an outdoor light, something you use at night, is the perfect application. So we endorse that, but we're just concerned about the ecological impact of all that blue-white light.
Yeah. Kevin, is there anywhere on Earth where you can go and not be affected by light pollution?
There's a few places where we call it near pristine. You know, I mean, the answer to your question, yes, you could go to Antarctica and
I'm booking a flight right now.
Station, but most people can't do that.
You know,
the easier places to go is the American Desert Southwest, the outback of Australia, and the heart of the Amazon. I mean, still pretty remote places. We highly endorse people come to the Desert Southwest because that's where my day job is here at Bryce Canyon National Park, and we can show people near pristine sky.
I was looking at your video that you did down in, with the backdrop of Orion. Tell me what that's all about. And I have a particular interest because my name is Mizar, which comes from the Big Dipper. My son is Rigel, which is often pronounced Regal from Orion. And my daughter is Antares from the Scorpius. How about that?
Oh, I love this. Okay, so there's a wonderful story. I think I can do it pretty quickly about Orion and Scorpius. Orion was a hunter. And by the way, I'd just like to mention, Orion's mostly forgotten about. It's the most easily visible constellation, even in light-polluted sky, north and southern hemisphere.
Yep.
And I did a search on the International Movie Database for characters named Orion. Disney had one episode from their cartoon Hercules where they mentioned Orion.
Really?
That's
it?
Constellation completely forgotten.
Wow.
I almost named my son Orion, but I was going after the stars. But
sure,
you know.
Sure. Well, you know, so Orion's a neat character. He's kind of a reformed hunter. And this is something we'd like to talk about the Park Service. But basically his story goes that he made a name for himself going around killing all different kinds of monsters. And it got to the point that Hera, and this is coming from Greek and Roman mythology, and Artemis, the god of the hunt, were so unhappy with him going around and willy-nilly, basically trophy hunting, killing monsters, that they decided to create an animal that would be unkillable. And they created Scorpius.
I know
Scorpius.
Where this is going.
And so as the story goes, the reason why you never see Orion and Scorpius in the sky at the same time is because this big unkillable scorpion is hunting Orion.
Yeah.
He can't stop and take time.
Well, that's a bummer.
To market hunt or, you know, trophy hunt the other animals in the sky.
That's a heck of a story, man.
It is.
But I want to get back to, because there's so much to talk about in terms of light pollution and letting people know how they can, and I'm sorry to cut you off, I know it's very fun, but how can people find out more about what they can do? There are some simple steps that I remember learning that, like, you can turn your lights outside so they're only, lighting down, you know, covering them so they're not lighting up, wasted.
Yeah, the first big campaign, was exactly that, to make sure your lights are pointed down, that they're shielded. Generally, the way you can judge this is if you can see the light bulb itself, then it's not shielded enough. What you don't want to see is the light bulb. That creates glare. It causes the exact wrong thing to happen. Makes you squint, makes you constrict your pupils, so you're not letting in enough light that you can adjust to low light levels of night. So, yeah, shielding is important. And then, as we've mentioned before, this idea of getting the right color of light is also important.
Now, there was a statistic that I recall, and it's very sad, but I think it's important for people to understand. How many birds every year die from lights left
That's
on
huge.
In high-rise buildings?
It's huge, yeah.
Yeah, it's tens of millions. The definitive organization is called FLAP, and they're based out of Toronto. Fatal Light Awareness Program is what that acronym stands for, and you can find them at FLAP.com, I think is their URL. But, yeah, I remember off the top of my head, I think they're quoting about 20 million birds annually are killed with either collisions with radio towers that have the wrong kind of light on them or office buildings. Office buildings is a new one that seems to take the heaviest toll.
I don't understand how folks can't just, when they're leaving an office building at night, why they just can't hit that switch and turn
yeah,
the lights off.
I'm totally with you there. I talk about this all the time. It's like, hey, if I was a CEO, you know, and I'm trying to keep the profit margins high for the shareholders, one of the things I think about doing is making people turn the lights off.
Well, honestly.
When there's nobody in the building. But I do know that one of the pushbacks, one of the justifications is that sometimes we light these big skyscrapers to draw attention to the brand name. That's where advertising
becomes
a challenging issue.
Yeah.
The good news is there's ways to do advertising right. You know, we get in this habit of putting black letters on white backgrounds, and then we light the white.
Right.
Well, you can do just as well by having white letters on black background, and then you don't need as much light. You can still have high visibility.
See, you've got all the solutions, man.
Birds to collide with your building.
You know, but speaking about marketing campaigns, wouldn't it be great if, like, for instance, I'm just going to pick one out of the blue, like GE on top of Rockefeller Center,
right,
were to say, okay, we're going green. Thank you for – we all recognize the GE logo anyway. Just turn it off. And then maybe others will follow suit.
Yeah.
Well, not only
there's places like that where they have these lighting ordinances that say exactly that. In fact, my new favorite, well, it's always been my favorite city, but my new especially favorite city is Paris. And they're doing exactly this. I think it goes into effect in July, but it's pretty significant because you've got a huge city, 5.5 million people, largest city in the world, to enact a lighting ordinance. And they're basically saying that their monuments, Eiffel Tower, Arc de Triomphe, things like that, can remain lit all night, but at lower levels than ever before. But advertising, skyscraper, office buildings, people, personal residents, you either have to close dark blinds if you want the lights on after 1 a.m. or you have to turn them off.
Now,
that's pretty significant.
Paris
continues to lead the world.
Can I ask you why they did that? Did they do it?
Ethic.
Did they do it because of light pollution, or was it for some other reason, for energy?
You know, there's several that they list, but it is in fact the aesthetics of light pollution, having a beautiful starry sky.
Yeah.
You know, what's more romantic than a beautiful starry sky?
In Paris,
the most romantic city of the world. Yeah. You know, it's only kind of doing it halfway, I think. But it is in fact an energy savings measure as well.
Is there any legislation in any state, city, or in this country that would be similar to that? Do you know of?
There's a few. Tucson, Arizona is the world's next largest city at 1 million people to have a lighting ordinance. And then there's smaller communities that have them in place. There's many more that are considering them. The biggest pushback is misconceptions about crime. It just sort of seems natural to us to assume that if it's brighter, we're safer. And all you have to do is find a police officer who could confirm pretty quickly that about 70, maybe even 80% of crime occurs during the daytime. You know, and when we light up the night like the daytime, all we're really doing is increasing the operational hours of the bad guys. And, you know, that's been shown in a variety.
Well, and there's probably better type of lighting to light certain areas like a parking lot, maybe if they just are smarter about how they light it.
Yeah, if YouTube channel, I have a bunch of these scenarios because seeing is believing. Not to play too much pun on there, but I've got these models where I myself dress in flat black clothing, and you know, I'm not a bad guy, but I did graduate with high marks from bad guy university. I wanted to understand the situation on both sides. And,
a lot of people understand
so
that.
I can show if people want to go to my YouTube channel and take a look, they can see the actual correct way to light a place that makes it really hard for a bad guy to do his job versus over lighting, which paradoxically can make it easier.
Right. Okay. Now, you also just recently did Jessica Aranella is how we found you a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
From What You Can Do.
Exactly. And they're finding that a lot of their viewers are also intrigued by this issue and that they get pretty high hits and views.
Didn't you just
when they talk about protecting the night sky as well?
Didn't you just do a video for her, or with her? Did you just do a video with her?
We did, yeah. And you can get it at What You Can Do on their Facebook page or our Facebook page, which is I Am the Dark Ranger.
Awesome.
That is a great Facebook. That is a great nom de plume, if you will, the Dark Ranger.
Now you,
yeah, isn't that fun?
Poor Mizar has been trying to say something, and I keep jumping in on her. Sorry.
No, well, but you know what? We were on the same track, obviously, because I was going to ask about the whole Paris thing. You're encouraging folks to write to folks in Paris?
Yeah, we're going to start probably after the Astronomy Festival here at Bryce Canyon. So probably in June, you know, about a month out when it's right on everybody's minds, because not everybody in Paris is happy about this. Any significant change is not a pleasant experience. But, you know, from our Facebook community page, we're going to be doing an email letter writing campaign to see if we can't show appreciation for Parisians, politicians, and certainly tourism business leaders.
I'll write them.
That we will love their city all the more if they prove to the world that, you know, you can have a lighting ordinance and protect your citizens and enhance the overall aesthetics of your community.
So now your website is IamTheDarkRanger.com?
Yeah.
And how can people find you on Facebook? And we'll put it up on our post for this show as well.
Yeah, so for Facebook, it's a community page, but you should just be able to do a Facebook search for the same nom de plume, I Am the Dark Ranger. I always say no apostrophe so people know that I'm spelling it out, I-A-M,
right.
Dark Ranger, all one word.
I have to ask you, Kevin, while we have a few seconds left, what compelled you to do this? I mean, what was the aha moment?
Well, I've always been interested in astronomy, but I've had a weird experience. My dad being a park ranger, I've lived in national parks, and I've had a just not an exposure to how the world has changed since even I was a kid. You know, I'm turning 41 here in a couple of weeks, so I'm not a geezer that can talk about, you know, the old days with a lot of authority. But living in national parks where the lack of civilization, the sky has been kept fairly dark, and then I find myself later in college in a more urban environment and realizing, wow, when I wasn't looking, we lost a significant resource here, and somebody needs to remind everybody it's not supposed to be this way. We can be an advanced civilization and still protect the beauty of the night sky for a whole host of important values.
Mm-hmm. Wow, so well said. And I'm so glad you are doing what you're doing, and we will catch up with you again sooner than the last time. We won't
Very
let that
good.
Much time lapse. And thank you so much for taking the time to call us today, Kevin.
And thank you very much to Green Divas for helping.
You're welcome.
Keep
bye,
up
Kevin.
The good work. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Hope you enjoyed that as much as they did.
please visit thegreendivas.com. That's thegreendivas.com. For more fun podcasts and information on the Green Divas and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green.
I forgot the cardinal rule, Megan. The mic is always hot.
Well, yeah.
I sounded smarmy on purpose just because I thought we were still, like, alone.
Just in our own little heads.
Yeah, sorry.
He's a great interview. We just got to get him to get a chair that doesn't squeak.
Oh, my word. And I had to stop coughing. I think I was coming off a cold then, remember? Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah.
Now, a couple of things. So, please check out Kevin Poe and on all the things he's talking about. But I forgot to mention in the opening of the show, very exciting for me personally. I don't know how exciting it is to anybody else, but we have a little mobile app now. So you can get the Green Divas radio show on your iPhone or Android. It's very easy to get.
It's free.
It's awesome. You got to check it out because then you can keep in touch with the Green Divas from the road anywhere you are.
And you know what I think I'll do is I'll put the instructions right on the homepage so it's really easy. But you have to go to our Buzzsprout site in order to get the...
I think that would confuse folks if you don't have that. Yes, put it right on the homepage in like big purple and green letters.
Green Divas going mobile.
Yeah.
Going mobile.
There's so much ahead for mobile, the Green Divas.
Yeah, and we have, we talked about it for a minute, but John Volker, one of our favorite green car dudes. I mean, really, he's like the original.
He's the green guru, green car guru.
He really is. He's going to come actually out to the studio in a couple of weeks.
Oh, it'll be great to see him here.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward. You know, I've been talking with him and interviewing him for 5 years. And he's been really good to us and loyal to us.
And you've never met him. I knew that.
And we crossed paths in Detroit.
Yeah.
The last time I was out there, by like 2 hours, we missed each other.
Okay.
Isn't that stink? But I left him a note with the people.
Oh, did you? Very good. Very good.
Anyway, I want to mention again, buygreen.com. They have all kinds of great summer sales and fun things.
You have to check out their website. They have some really neat things on it.
Well, and again, I like that they have a rating system that makes sense and it's easy to understand.
Yep.
Makes sense, easy to understand. Isn't that like the same thing?
Kind of redundant, but that's okay.
Redundant. So stay tuned for the Uncle Buggy Show. That's my big bro, and he has some fabulous music taste.
Is he doing Beatles today, 50th anniversary of...
No. No, he's doing Rolling Stones.
Oh, he doesn't do Beatles.
He does a lot of more obscure classic.
Oh, I know he does.
It's amazing what he comes up with and what he knows.
Yeah.
But he's doing a lot of Beatles stuff and something about Ginger Baker today. Yeah, because there's some Ginger Baker documentary that he saw, so he's going to do some interesting
Good.
Ginger
it's
Baker
always stuff. Enlightening when there's like, you know, because who knows?
Well, he's so knowledgeable about this stuff.
Yeah, he knows it in like in depth, but and beyond.
Yeah, yeah, and like, it's fun.
Yeah, he's pretty cool that way. I've always liked that.
So I recommend staying on and listening. But if you're listening, you may have to reset your browser.
Yes,
because we're in a remote studio, and when we sign off and he goes on, sometimes that requires a new browser.
You just have to refresh, folks. That's
refresh.
It. Just refresh. Refresh and get ready for Uncle Buggy.
That sounds like such a Green Diva thing.
It is, isn't it? Refresh.
Oh, my gosh. We are so silly.
Well, you know what? I just, again, folks, don't forget to look for our Green Diva quickie, the
Naya
new
video,
shoes, because that's
shoes.
Really good. Yeah. And speaking of videos, I'm just saying kudos to Meg, who went out and we're taking Green Divas far and away, just to bring it closer to you. I mean, Megan went out and she bought a whole bunch of video stuff, video equipment. Listen to me, the TV girl.
Yeah.
Video stuff.
You know.
No, video equipment. And we are going, you're going to see more of us.
And it won't be just like the little videos from our laptop anymore.
Yeah.
We're going to have professional
We're going mobile.
Yeah.
So spread the word. Give us some suggestions on Facebook. The Green Divas Radio Show. Just let us know what you'd like to see and
always check out thegreendivas.com. Have a great green week, folks. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, follow them on Facebook and Twitter, and don't forget to visit the blog at thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. And remember to share the good green news with friends and family.